The Old Testament reading for the 17th Sunday after Trinity is from Proverbs chapter 25. Do not honor yourself in a king's presence. Do not stand in a place reserved for great people, because it is better to be told, "Come up here," than for you to be humiliated before a ruler whom your eyes have seen. Do not be in a hurry to go to court. Otherwise, what will you do afterward? When your neighbor humiliates you, argue your case with your neighbor, but do not reveal someone else's secret. If you do, the person who hears it will shame you, and your bad reputation will never leave you. A word spoken at the right time is like golden apples in silver settings. To ears that listen, a wise person's correction is like a gold ring, or like jewelry made of pure gold. To those who send him, a trustworthy messenger is like cold snow on a warm day during harvest. He refreshes his master's spirits. A person who brags about a gift that is never given is like clouds and wind that bring no rain. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath day, when Jesus went into the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat bread, they were watching him closely. Right in front of him was a man who was suffering from swelling of his body. Jesus addressed the legal experts and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So he took hold of the man, healed him, and let him go. He said to them, "Which of you, if your son or an ox would fall into a well on a Sabbath day, would not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. When he noticed how they were selecting the places of honor, he told the invited guests a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline in the place of honor. Or perhaps someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. The one who invited both of you may come and tell you, "Give this man your place." Then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and recline in the lowest place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he will tell you, "Friend, move up to a higher place." Then you will have honor in the presence of all who are reclining at table with you. Yes, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something strange. On the one hand, nobody likes being corrected. On the other hand, everybody likes correcting others. We don't like being corrected, but we like correcting others. It's like a one-way street. All correction is to issue forth from us to others, and we resent it if others might correct us. Jesus once asked, "Why do you focus on the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not consider the beam that is in your own eye? How will you tell your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' when in fact you have a beam in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the beam from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Try to imagine what that might look like. Whenever the person moves his head, this big beam or log is swinging around. Regardless of that log, all the correcting is a one-way street. Wherever that beam happens to swing is where that critical eye will notice something wrong. Everybody else is subpar. You alone are right. It must get lonely as you sit atop that mountain of righteousness all by yourself. So how might we fix this? Certainly something must be said for Jesus' advice, "Judge not, lest you be judged." Stop judging. Stop correcting others. just for the sake of outward peace and harmony, it is often good to hold your tongue. There is a common false belief that judging and censoring and condemning is the sign of a great intellect or of a vigorous prophetic spirit. Thus, particularly in the church, it is easy to find people who are never satisfied with anything that hasn't come from them. Martin Luther liked to call these people sour-faced saints. Their faces always looked like they had been sucking on lemons, and because they were always so sour about everybody else's supposed misdeeds, they thought that they were very saintly. Unfortunately for them, judging is not named as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the whole tone and tenor of that list of the fruits of the Spirit goes against these sour-faced saints. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is an openness in this list. We are to be open to others. If we meet others intending to shoot them down, we always need to have our pistol at the ready. Be ready to shoot, lest the other person get their shot off first. Such a person encountering others is closed rather than open, always on the defensive, always ready to strike back. They do not want to be corrected, so they always have their attacks ready to put a stop to being corrected even before it starts. This way of protecting oneself, of closing down, of shutting oneself off from others is a natural response. Here we see that what is quote-unquote natural is not what is godly. It is natural to shut down and protect yourself, but that isn't godly. There are a lot of things that are quote-unquote natural, but nevertheless ungodly. Lust is natural. Anger is natural. Greed is natural. Loving your friends and hating your enemies is natural. Yet Jesus says, love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you. Loving those who want to hurt you is impossible for our flesh, which is always looking out for numero uno. It is that same looking out for numero uno that shuts people off from others, guns drawn, finger on the trigger. The alternative to that is an openness that is manifested in patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But with this openness, honesty, laying your heart out there, there is the possibility of getting hurt. Let me try to explain a little more. Perhaps you can see this most easily with children, for they have not yet become so guarded and jaded. Suppose there's a child who likes to play with a toy that his peers think is for younger kids. The child doesn't know that there's anything wrong with playing with that toy. But one of the other kids, and there are always plenty of these around, makes fun of that kid. And there are other kids, and there are always plenty of those around too, can't stop laughing at the gullible child. This kind of suffering makes a child retreat within himself. Blessed is that child, and adults know that this is true, who can resist this bullying and can continue to express his love openly for this toy. But this is rare, because we don't like to suffer. And the easiest way to make this suffering stop in such a situation is for the kid to simply shut down. Something we should learn as Christians is that suffering is not the worst thing. We don't have to avoid suffering at all costs. If we have decided that we are going to avoid suffering at all costs, then we are going to retreat into our mental fortresses, ready to shoot at anything that moves. Being open, on the other hand, makes a person vulnerable to others' attacks. It seems like being willing to suffer is a terrible idea. And yet, this is what our Lord Jesus did by going to the cross. He most certainly did not need to go to the cross. There was no law that he had to suffer and suffer so severely. His friend, Peter, thought that it was a terrible idea for him to go about being the Christ in that way. But Peter was wrong. What Jesus did was good. That suffering was good. And so we too should be open and vulnerable and not be afraid of suffering. This means that we should also be open to being corrected. Remember how I started today? Nobody likes being corrected. We only want to correct others. And there's a good reason why we don't like to be corrected. It's because it hurts to be corrected. We don't want to suffer. And so we might retreat into some fortress, guns drawn, and refuse to be corrected in any way. Here's the thing, though. Sometimes we need to be corrected. And that's really an understatement. We often need to be corrected. This is something that sets Christians apart from others. By nature, everybody hates being corrected, whether they're Christian or not. But those who are converted to faith in Christ eventually become grateful for being corrected. Wise King Solomon says in our Old Testament reading, "To ears that listen, a wise person's correction is like a gold ring or like jewelry made of pure gold." A wise person corrects, the person listens and is corrected, and that correction is like a gold ring or jewelry made from pure gold. The reason why we like gold rings and jewelry is because we like to look at them. We find them beautiful. The one who is converted to faith in Christ is thankful that they have been turned away from the broad and easy road that leads to destruction. Blessed is that person who hears a hard word, one that hurts, takes it to heart, and is humbled by it. There is pain and suffering that goes along with this, but it is a good kind of suffering. It is a suffering that is healthy. It's like when a doctor cleans out an infected wound. It might hurt like the dickens to have the doctor poking around in there, cleaning out the filth, packing it with gauze. It hurts, but it's good. So it is also with the sinner who is brought to repentance. It hurts, but being corrected is a good thing. Sometimes people turn Jesus' statement, "Judge not, lest you be judged," into some kind of absolute principle. And they take it to mean that nobody should ever be corrected at any time. But that is incorrect. It's obviously incorrect. Jesus judges and corrects a lot. In our gospel reading, you see him correcting others. In fact, it is obvious that the whole situation is quite tense and awkward. Jesus asks them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Silence. Nobody wants to stick their neck out. Nobody wants to be corrected. Jesus heals the man from edema, and then he asks them another question. Which of you, if your son or an ox fell into a well on a Sabbath day, would not immediately pull him out? Silence. The answer is obvious, but they're probably angry with Jesus for making them feel embarrassed. And when Jesus sees how they're jockeying for the best seats engaged in that ridiculous contest for who's the most popular, Jesus tells them that they should take the lowest seat. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Being corrected like this might have made their ears burn and their cheeks turn bright red. Ouch. So embarrassing. But if only they could embrace what Jesus has told them as though it were a gold ring or some jewelry made from pure gold. Jesus is a good doctor. He's working to heal them. The pain involved is for their good. Jesus is also talking about correcting others with that parable about the man who has the beam in his eye. It is not as though Jesus is forbidding any and every correction in that parable. After all, he himself says, "First, remove the beam that is in your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly to take the speck that is out of your neighbor's eye." The speck's no good. It's good to get it out of there. But imagine the bumbling and fumbling around that would take place if your eye doctor had a beam swinging around the examination room every time he turned his head. Nothing good's going to come out of that. Whether it is right to judge others or not depends on the heart of the one who's doing it. If the heart is good, then the judgment is probably going to be good. If the heart is evil, then the judgment is probably going to be self-seeking. Correcting others with the motive of helping them can be one of the most loving things a person can do. It is very loving because often correcting others is not appreciated, to say the least. Trying to correct someone might just get you a whole bunch of abuse and scorn in return. They might unload that machine gun of theirs on you in return. But not all correcting of others is done this way, with good intentions. Sometimes people correct others to show the world how wonderfully pious they are, or what a fine grasp of science they might have, or how especially suited they are to judge. It's a way of dominating over others. It feels good to dominate. Dominating over others makes a person think that he's better than others. When God's law is used for this kind of activity, it is a misuse of holy things for vain and idolatrous purposes. Some very evil so-called Christians like to see others squirm with the pain that they can cause with their judgments. Such people are like a doctor who is only interested in torturing and killing his patients rather than healing him. That would be a very evil doctor. This is, in fact, the very thing that the devil likes best. In a way, he's very good at judging. He knows just where to hit. just to where to inflict pain. And his goal is to have people be in despair and remain in despair. He wants them to hate themselves. And if he can get it, he'd like them to murder themselves. Often the judgments that he throws around are true. But he doesn't want anyone to move on from these truths to the higher truths of God's mercy. He wants them to remain in their despair and in their misery. He does not want them to have a good conscience. All genuine Christian correction is going to have the ultimate goal of giving the sinner a good conscience. When a sinner has been humbled, the sinner must be urged to embrace Christ's redemption and salvation. It is not enough just to clean out the wound with all the pain that goes along with that. Salve must be applied. Medicine must be given. And that medicine is God's full and free pardon and his acceptance of the sinner for Jesus' sake. To the one who has been humbled, God himself says, "Come up higher, my friend. Come sit next to me." That's a wonderful thing. Let me sum up what we've talked about today. First, it is good to be open, even though being open makes you vulnerable to being hurt. Second, it's good to be corrected, even though being corrected causes pain and suffering. Being corrected is healthy, and it leads to life. Refusing to be corrected will bring about gangrene and death. Third, it is important that when we correct others, we do it for their good and not for some perverse pleasure of our own. Correcting and judging others for our own benefit is very evil. We must be like a good doctor who wants a patient to do well. So may we all be corrected by Jesus. He is the good physician. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.